To tell you we are glad to be here. And say, Lord God, we know you are glad to have us. The shout of rejoicing, the shout of celebrations shall not depart from any home represented here. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Please be seated. Sometime about a week and a half ago, I was with our staff in the office, and we started prayer. And some of them just stood and was raising prayer, and they were just looking, and I looked at them. I said, look, are you glad that we are praying? And the Holy Spirit started speaking to me since that day. And I told my wife, I said, look, whenever I have the opportunity, what the Holy Spirit is asking me to talk about is, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why? Because for any revival to take place anywhere, you have to be glad to be in the presence of the Almighty God. And I look, I mean, how many of us watched the football match yesterday? Nigeria versus Liberia. I know some of you don't watch Nigeria again. How many of you watch Man U and Woman U? Baka and what are the other names? You know all their names. When people are preparing to watch matches. In fact, in those days when I was really, really interested in football, my wife knew that every 4 years we must buy a new television. Anytime there is a World Cup, I must buy a new television because I cannot afford to be watching the World Cup with the other one. There was a day they were playing penalties and I dived to save the penalty and I got my hand injured. Excitement watching football matches. And you see people come, you say, I'm a fanatical supporter of Manchester United. I say, are you a fanatic of God? He said, Mickey, I'm not a fanatic. I'm just going, I'm a Christian. No, Mickey, you are ashamed to be a fanatical supporter of God. And you are not ashamed to be a fanatical supporter of Manchester United. Something is wrong somewhere. Something is wrong somewhere. And it's time for us as a body of Christ to begin to look at it. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I've had calls to ask people, why are you going to church today? He said, it is Sunday now. So why is the guy in church? Because it's Sunday. And I can understand, because you can't find him in church on Tuesday. What we have here, we have 1/4 of this on Tuesday. So many people are probably here. Why? Because it is Sunday. What else do we do if we don't go to church? Are you glad to be here? And I want us to start with the book of Revelation chapter 3. Book of Revelation chapter 3. Can we go in there together? Book of Revelation chapter 3. Do we have the technical team working this morning? I want to read from verse 14 down. Book of Revelation chapter 3. Chapter 3. I read from verse 14. It says, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, this thing said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. Let's know whom you are. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you, or I will spew you out of my mouth. May that not be your portion in Jesus' name. I didn't hear the amen. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, you are actually naked. But God gives a counsel. He said, I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garment, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And each time God gives his word like this, he tries to soften it, to make it acceptable to us. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. The type of word that is coming to you is only for those whom he loves. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hear my voice and open the door, I'll come to him and dine with him, and he with me. May the Lord bless the reading of his words in Jesus' name. I didn't hear the amen. Amen. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I want to ask, how excited are you coming into the house of the Lord? How happy are you to come into the house of the Lord? When you miss a Sunday service, how do you feel wherever you are? And I want to say that the Sunday service actually was designed to be a celebration service. The Sunday service, I want to repeat, was originally designed to be a celebration service. No wonder we come to the church in some of our best clothes. Some of us don't know why. We just saw that our parents were wearing their best clothes. We too started wearing our best clothes, and we are all just doing it. There is a reason for it. The Sunday service is supposed to be a celebration service, where you are going with all the excitement, with all the joy, that this Lord God has kept you throughout the wonderful week, and he has brought you into this place. And I want to say, where there is no expectation, there cannot be any manifestation. Where there is no expectation, there cannot be any manifestation. You must come to church with expectation. You must call out for something. I met somebody some time back. I said, why didn't you come to church? He said, I was feeling weak. I said, if you are feeling weak, then where do you receive strength? Sitting back in your home? You can only become sick after becoming weak. Where you can get strength is when you come into the presence of the Almighty God. So excuses that I was tired, I was weak, these are all excuses, because the excitement that should come into going into the house of the Lord has not been there. And I want to say that every department in this church is a ministry. And we need to understand that what we are asked to do is a ministry. It's not an activity. And so if you are performing any function as an activity, you have missed it. When you come into the church, when you are coming in, the first people you contact are the ushers. In many places they call them ushers, but in more places they call them ushers and greeters. They are not just to usher you like yellow fever and show you one seat there. They are supposed to greet you and prophesy into your life. In other words, before they come to church, they are prayed of themselves because they have a ministry. As I want on, as I want on, as I want on, as I want us to quickly check a passage in the Bible, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 9, the book of Acts chapter 9. To let us know that every one of us here, once you are given an assignment, you have become a minister. You don't need a title. You have become a minister. Acts chapter 9. I'll just read from verses 10 to 19 very quickly. The Bible says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias! And he said, behold, I am here. Immediately. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas of one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Can you notice something about how definite God is? He doesn't just send you haphazardly. He said, no, go into one place. The name of that street, I know you don't know it, but when you get there, this is the name of the street. You will inquire of one particular house. Inside their house, there's one man called Saul is praying. When you are prayed up, God gives you details. If you are not prayed up, you can only take what is in the open. So, and in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, could I share the fear on you? Me? Hey, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. God, is that the person you are sending me to? Excuse me, if you're a member of this church and they send you to one thick babalawo in Makbo, what will you say? You say, excuse me, I'm just a member of the church. Pastor Bola Dale Ige is there. And he has his team of reverence. Excuse me, I am Brother Mike Adego, called Reverend and Pastors. Meanwhile, the time where we are in now, God is raising many Ananiases to give certain assignments. And let's see that story. But the Lord said to him, go, for it's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house and laid his hands on him. He said, Brother, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine? He got in there, knowing surely that he has been sent, so that Brother will not think that he sent himself. Say, Brother, Jesus, that man that you met on the way to Damascus, is the one that has sent me to come and lay hands on you. Excuse me. When you read the Bible, you see a man who wrote most of the things there, who lay hands upon him first. It wasn't Peter. It wasn't Paul. It wasn't James. It wasn't John. It wasn't any of the apostles. Who was it? Ordinary, you will call Ananias. And I want to say there is a grace called the grace of Ananias. Are the ushers in the church here this morning? Can I invite them to come forward? I'd like to pray with them. Can I have the ushers? Because they have a wonderful assignment in this congregation. If they are listening, can they move quickly here so that we'll pray together? Why? Because the ushers, the greeters, are the first people you meet. If they are not smiling, they have literally ruined even your coming to church. But when they have the anointing, the grace of Ananias upon their hearts, they know that they are not just standing there as yellow fever. They are not just standing there to say, welcome, sir. I come in, I'm excited when you say, welcome, sir. But that's not all that God has sent you to do. What you are doing is a ministry. There's a grace that is released upon people, which makes them to be ministers. And I want you to understand that you are ministers. And you don't come to church just to other people to take seats. You are prayed up because you must prophesy into the lives of the people as they come in one by one. Somebody comes in, you welcome to church, your joy shall be full. You have prophesied something into his life, your joy shall be full. The guy is coming into the church and something is telling him, I've just been told that my joy shall be full. Maybe he met another usher on the way and that one said, expect your miracle. He's coming in, you are charging the people. Not until the pastor or anybody comes here to begin to speak that miracles begin to happen. No, you are ministers. And so, when people come and you look at the person, you welcome, man, today's your day. I mean, the person comes, he takes a seat and he begins to look, today's my day. And he begins to position himself. Because many of us just sit down and we are waiting for actors to come on stage. Whereas, we are supposed to have something going on in our house. Somebody comes in and you say, you welcome and your heavens are opened. I mean, you begin something in the lives of such persons. So, this morning there is grace upon your life to make you prophets, that you prophesy into the lives of people as they come into this place. Father, let heavens be opened upon these ones, that Lord God, they will take this ushering as a ministry, the first contact of people who come into this church, and Lord God, as they put joy in the hearts of people, their own homes, their own businesses shall be full of joy too. Father, watch over your word and let there be a performance in their lives. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. You can take your seats. In this church, some people have ministered to my life and they are not pastors. They are not my special friends, if I have any special friends. There is this brother here, Bola. In the last 18 years, there is no birthday or wedding anniversary of mine that he has never given me a present. In the last 18 years, no birthday, no wedding anniversary that he has not given me a present. It might not be something very big, but he has a heart. I see him coming to church. When you see him, there is joy in your heart. Excuse me, God has raised many in our midst as Ananias, and we are just keeping quiet. May the Lord open our mouths. May the Lord open our hearts. About 3 weeks ago, a brother called me from this place. He said, excuse me, sir, the Lord God showed me in a dream, and I want to share with you, and maybe that we should pray together. And I thought he had a problem. And as he was trying to tell me, I said, I hope this man knows the type of problem I'm going through. But as he shared, God showed him a challenge that I was going through. Not pastor, just member here. And when he shared with me, I said to him, brother, you are 100% correct. This is what I am going through. Let's pray together. Pray with me. Then we decided to fast together. The challenges are over. Whom did God use? Ananias. Is there any other Ananias in the church this morning? If you are, wave your hand to the Almighty God. If you don't wave it, you remain ordinary. We don't have to beg you. So, as people come in, these ushers give you joy. And then, it comes to the time when it's time for praise and worship. And the praise and worship, we have one of the best worship teams in this city. We have one of the best worship teams in this country. But many times I see them lead, and I see people just standing there, and they are doing like this, and they are doing like that, and I try to say, what is happening? As I checked the Bible, I saw that it is time for us to really be part of what is going on. And I want to ask that question. Do we have a singing team or a worship team? Many times you see a worship team. Occasionally you see a singing team. I hope you know the difference between the two. But when even the worship is coming, what is our own response and our participation? Somebody is leading, my God is a good God. Yes, he is. He raised me up and you are dancing. He raised me up. He turned me around. He turned me around. He turned my feet. Excuse me. You can't be blessed by that ministration. It looks to me that some of us are posing like big men before God. And I don't know how big you are before God. When he said, toss me around, excuse me, let him turn you around if it's your God. You are posing before Almighty God, you are doing like this, he turns me around, and you are doing, he turns me around. You are standing stiff. And you think God is a fool to come down and bless you? Excuse me, let's stop deceiving ourselves. We need miracles of God, and God is sincere to those who are sincere. I put my hands up. But yeah, you are posing. Posing before who? Will you go to the governor and just pose carelessly? Will you stand before the king and just stand carelessly? But we come before the King of Kings and then we just pose as big men. He said, you are rich. Yes, I know you are rich. He said, but as a matter of fact, heaven is looking and he said, we know you are wretched. Excuse me, if you cannot liberate yourself before God, the truth of the matter is that we are wretched. I know there are songs that they come up with. Eh? My God is a good God. You can have seen how I murdered the soul. Yet I know the meaning that and then you are singing me. Excuse me. I've been to congregations when they are singing me. People face each other. And they face each other. There is life in the church. The church is not a burial ground. Don't make it look at such as if God is a sad God. He has brought you here on a Sunday so that you can rejoice in his presence. And as you heard me murder that song, I want to hold somebody responsible, the technical team. Many of the songs that are sung here, first timers who come into this church after 2 or 3 visits cannot come again. Why? Because they can't understand what you are saying. It's not there for them to see. Some of the songs that they sang this morning, I was able to follow because I didn't know the wordings. Excuse me. Many times I've asked my wife, I said, look, this song that I can't follow. I try to remember when I graduated from the university. And I know there are some people who have not gone to university. How can they understand some of these things that we sing when it is not there? And I want to challenge our technical team. What you have is not a game of talents. What you have is a ministry. And I think this church holds a responsibility to send them for proper training. Now, as you are speaking, we've been to places, as you are speaking, the summary of the message is rolling out there. People, as you are speaking, the PowerPoints are rolling out, people are able to see. I've seen the pastor here make a citation. I say, can we put it up there? And he waits, and it's not there. Excuse me. What we are all supposed to be doing is when we come in here, we are sold out completely to the Lord. There is a rehearsal. Nothing happens by accident. Excuse me, help me tell somebody, nothing happens by accident. The worship team liaises with the technical team. Let them have an idea, at least of most of the songs that they will sing. So that others who are new are able to follow. We go to outside this country where we don't understand their language, but there is something there on the board, and we can begin to even follow them in Portuguese. But then if there's nothing there, we'll just stand and look. And so this is a challenge, and I'm appealing that because the Bible says, look, it's him whom I love that I chastise, and that's exactly what the Lord God is doing unto us this morning. Please help us. This work is a ministry. We put things together. I remember many years back, I was to MC a meeting, and the governor of one of the states was to be there. And I heard that he is a Christian. I heard that he went to a meeting where they introduced him as His Excellency, and he said no. When he came up, he said no, His Excellency is the Lord Jesus. And so when he came, I went to him and said, "Sir, I'll be introducing you as the MC." And when I begin to say, "His Excellency, the Governor, His Excellency," you can just get up, don't wait for me, and raise that song, "His Most Excellency is Jesus." You needed to be there that day. I was shouting, "His Excellency," the Excellency got up and raised, "His Most Excellency is Jesus." Everybody got up, shout hallelujah, amen. Excuse me, if you are ordinary commissioner or ordinary Kuruntu, you are in church, you see the governor saying, "His Most Excellency is Jesus." Who are you, right? Not to know the Most Excellency. Excuse me, some of these things are made to happen so that the result can be achieved. Then I go to our announcements. Hey, we thank God for what we're doing. We see names of celebrants. Like today, probably you have about 17 names. When it was time for them to get up for prayer, how many people did you see? Two or three. Something is wrong. Either that list is too old, that needs to be updated, or we need to contact the people before service. It's an embarrassment when you introduce a person and he's not there. So, we need to wake up so that these little things, first timers come. They are not hearing the message. They first want to look at the people and look at the environment and see how they fit in. If they don't fit in, they disappear after some time. And then, we want to welcome first timers. If you're a first timer here, stand up. Beautiful. There's a way to present it. There's some people here, their presence makes us happy. There are some people here, today is a day of your special blessing. That's why God has chosen that today will be your first time in our congregation. Are you here for the first time this morning? We want to recognize you, we want to honor you, we want to celebrate you because you did not come here by accident. How will the man feel? They say, "Are you a first timer here? Stand up." I brought a first timer, he refused to stand up today. My wife had to go and say, "Hey, my friend, stand up." Do you understand? So there are ways we present some of these things to make it look exciting. If you are taking announcements, you must be excited about the announcement. You are not here to read or to say, just do that one. And then, when he now said, any first timer? No first timer. Praise the Lord. I get offended. How can you be praising God when there is no first timer? It's time for you to challenge us. The person today challenged us. And I was so happy. Excuse me, you are not a correct Christian if you are not winning souls. Let somebody repeat it to our ear so that we know. Not just to come and dance and go. No first timers, no first timer. Praise the Lord. I'm sure heaven will look and say, that person does not understand what he's announcing. Because that's not the time to praise the Lord. It's the time to look at people in the face and ask them, what is the purpose of our salvation if we are not winning souls? We need to be challenged regularly about this. And then it comes up, how many people have testimonies today? We can only take one testimony on this. Excuse me. The essence of Sunday service is for us to come and celebrate and share stories of what God did during the week. If I don't know what God is doing in your life, I have no reason to come. I have seen cases and I have had cases when I move close to the pastor to hear tremendous miracles, things that God is doing in our midst, but the people never come out here to say it. And so people come and they think nothing is happening. So they come believing nothing is happening and they go that nothing is happening. And excuse me, if you receive a miracle, because I know doctors in this place who have left all just to minister to many of us. This time last year I was sick, my wife was sick. The pastor was running around, the doctors were running around. Now, the testimony. And you know one thing. The Bible tells me that 10 people were healed. How many came back? How many? And what did Jesus tell that one? He said, now you are made whole. Excuse me, if you were sick and God healed you, you didn't testify, you have not received your wholeness. So don't deceive yourself. Testimonies are things that people come up with to change the lives of other people, to let them know that God is real. To let them know that the Lord God whom we are serving is alive. When things happen and you don't share it, you keep it to yourself. You have somebody that tell you, say, my testimony is not yet right. Is it banana? For it to get right before you can share it. He said, my testimony. He said, I'm afraid to share it now because of witches. I said, if you are afraid of witches inside the church, inside your house, uncle, or inside your office, excuse me. It's time for us to know that the purpose of our coming to church on Sunday is to celebrate, to hear what God did in your life, what God did in your life, what God did in your life. And I'm looking forward to a time when, beside the general testimonies, there will be a time that at least one person will come and share the testimony of his salvation. It's because I've been preaching here, that's why you know the story of my salvation. Many of the people here, you don't know how they got saved. You just see them in church and suddenly they are this. You don't know anything about their salvation. Some don't even know the day they were saved. They were saved by association. They just got close to us, understood the language, and they are doing it. When were you born again? He said, I think it must have been. I said, when, what's your birthday? You tell me the date of your birthday. The day you were born into the sinful world, you know it. The day you were born into the kingdom, you don't know it. It's time to get a day, sure. In case you are here, you are not sure of the day. Today, when that call comes, you make today. The Bible says you make your calling and election sure. Otherwise, you are a man of no identity. Because in the birth book of heaven, your name is not there. We are only celebrating you here out of ignorance. That let us know that God expects so much from us. And then it comes to the message. Excuse me. I've been privileged to go to very many churches within and outside this country to preach. One of the toughest places to preach is this pulpit. Can I repeat? One of the toughest places. I still remember somebody was preaching one day and he just said that we were looking just like that. He said, can you support my ministry? How many people were in church that day? Coming. Last Tuesday, the meeting had finished. The pastor came forward and said, God told me that between now and next Tuesday, this will happen. Miracles will happen. And I'm sure there must have been 10 people who had testimonies concerning that, because the word did not come carelessly from him. The service was already over. God told him, go and tell these people what I want to do. And you are sitting down here, only one person came to testify. Thank God that another one person came. If nobody came, they will say, now, so the pastor, they talk jare. We don't know all these people there. Please don't make the word of God feeble in our midst. The word of God that comes from this pulpit comes as a direct something. And I know this is a difficult thing to preach. I would rather plead with you to use Bibles instead of telephones. I was getting sophisticated too. And I bring my phone to take message and to do this. As the ministry is going on and I'm taking message, an alert comes. Hey, say, Baba, thank you. So if not listen, salary and working in Tabati Shetumbi, whatever the man is saying is gone. And I see many of us doing it. I see people, the message is going on, and I'm able to look and they are on WhatsApp. Excuse me. If you want to serve God, serve God. If you don't want to come, stay outside. The time to beg people to come to God, we are getting to a time where you must run to God yourself. We had a meeting with the Oni of Ife, and after a lot of discussion and everything, I kept quiet for some time.
So when we were about to go, I said, man of God, you didn't talk again. I said, Kabir, I have only one word for you, sir. You will look for God in a hurry. I'm alive. You are alive. I've said it here again. Dionne, quote me anywhere, because I told him he will look for God in a hurry. But I'm praying for you. Coming under the unction of people anointed on this altar, and you are just taking it, the taking of the word of God with liberty. I pray that you will not look for God in a hurry. You can't even say amen. So when we come, please, I want to say, let us use our Bibles as much as possible so that we can mark certain things. We can put certain things around it. Thank God for the technical team that puts on certain things. It's meant to help especially those who probably don't have Bible, or who did not come with Bible, or who are first timers. But if you're a correct person here, it's a time to begin to use your Bible for church. As I begin to conclude, when the word of God comes, it does not just come as I finished preaching. I said, now you have heard the word of God. Can we share the grace in fellowship? People have come with diverse challenges. People have come to the presence of God believing that once I get to church, I will meet with God. When last did you hear God say the Lord? Was it not a common thing on this pulpit before? When something will be going on, somebody will come up there and say, God say the Lord. Are there people here who have witnessed that before? Let me see your hand so that they know that we are not telling lies. So what has happened? Is God not speaking again? God is speaking. Because at the end of the service, I see people who come and say, God told me. I say, why didn't you tell the church? Some of us is because we are ashamed, some because we are afraid, some because we are too big. How can I just go and say that? And if God talks to you one time, second time, you do nothing, he doesn't waste his time to come and say, give you messages to the congregation again. So when we come and we are glad and you are rejoicing before the Lord, he speaks to you. How many weeks ago was that? We got to, my wife said, your dancing in church was very special today. I said, okay, I will show you the secret next Sunday. So about 3 weeks ago, which was the following Sunday, as we were dancing there, I saw that she was dancing specially too. I looked at her. There's one young girl, I've looked around for her today. Once she used to sit somewhere around there. When the musician is going on, she dances like that. So I saw her dancing, I started dancing like that. I was enjoying myself in the presence of the Almighty God. You come here, you are doing like this, you are posing before who? Excuse me, if you cannot let loose here, where else do we want to let loose? If we cannot rejoice here, where else do we want to rejoice? So time for ministration, word of knowledge, and something saying, God begins to tell you about certain individuals. God begins to tell you about certain group of people that must be prayed for. And because their issues have been mentioned, God takes the load off them. That passage that we read concludes with two verses. Verses 19 and 20, I read. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Have you heard the word this morning? And you see yourself that indeed, your coming to church is just as a formality. You come without any expectation, and therefore it's been difficult to receive anything. And you're already asking, why do I come? Indeed, if there had been a distraction on the way, you wouldn't have come. And God says, look, the word this morning is just for you to repent. Say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And God is saying this morning, he said, whoever hears my voice and opens the door, I will sup with him, and then he with me. The day the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to that scripture, I couldn't rest. God says, if I allow him, he will come and eat with me. Excuse me, what much do I have to offer God to eat? But he says, because I have allowed him to come and eat with me, what is going to happen next? He's going to allow me to come and eat with him. Excuse me, when I have the privilege of eating with the Almighty God, why will my testimonies not be large? Why will my blessings not be large? When the owner of all things has given me privilege to come and dine with him. Excuse me, this morning is knocking. In the days of Israel, please do not harden your hearts. Because today, God is setting us as a church on a new foundation. It is time for revival. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, I have spoken as you sent. These words, Lord God, if they were ordinary, they produce no results. But Lord, begin a work in the hearts of men and women. That Lord, they will see themselves in the light of you. As they see themselves in the light of you, they will cry unto you, Lord, help me. The greatest prayer that I have seen was that same. He said, later when he was drowning, he said, Lord, save me. This morning, the Lord God is saying, I want to save you. I want to help you. You have just been an ordinary comer into my presence. But this morning, you want to say, Lord, I need your help. Wherever you are, can you just please come forward? There's no time for covering face and things. You know it, that this, your relationship with God is not a perfect one. You know it, that you just come and you just come before God. It's Sunday. But God says, it's a time for change. Stop posting, stop pretending, because the person whom you are pretending before knows the innermost recesses of our hearts. Is there anybody? God bless you. Yeah, the Lord God is speaking to your heart. Respond to the word of the Almighty God this morning. And if you choose to pose again this morning, good luck unto you, because the word of God will never return to him void without accomplishing that for which it was sent. Maseda Kariba Shandra Labus Kebaba. Rimu Shendra Lemos Kandayalaba. My brother, please look up. Baba Sa should tell you that because I've seen the sincerity of your heart, I will make you a living testimony. Are there others coming? Because there are supposed to be 12. One came. There's no problem with God. No problem with God. Now there are 3. If you are one of the remaining 9 that should be here, quickly join us before I pray for everybody. But I just had a direct word for him, which I gave just there. If you are one of those 9, wherever you are, you know that you need a fresh respect. Let me put the word respect for God. Thank you. Thank you. Where are the remaining? He's speaking to your heart, I know. I know. God bless you. Kaburi bo shanda babas kanda yarmibo. We cannot pose before God. We cannot be big men before God. We cannot be big women before God. He says, you say you are rich. He said, but I know you are wretched. No matter how much money you have, if you are not rich in the spirit, you are wretched according to the word of God. Okay, we already have 15 people, and I know that God is still speaking. Please look up. Look at me. You have come to meet with the Almighty God. And to tell the Almighty God, I know it has not been very right. But this morning I'm making it right. Even in my relationship with you, in the way I take you. I just want to pray a simple prayer, and then at the end of this service, we'd like to speak with you for a few minutes. Father, these are your children. They did not mind whatever anybody would think, but they care to mind what you would think. And so, Father, they have respected you. May I command the host of heaven, Lord God, the angels, ministering angels of the living God, to begin to honor these ones in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, let honor be their portion. As they stand up from this place, I lead them in a short prayer of rededication. Can you just say after me, say, Lord Jesus, say it loud and clear, Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am. I rededicate my life to you today. Lord, use me for your glory. Forgive me all my sins. I want to be closer unto you. Thank you, Father. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.